Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Metaphysical Media with Stephen Lewis and Stephen Frampton. Thank you for tuning in. I want to just cover a couple of items before we get started properly with the topic of today's show. For those of you that have been listening to our show for some time, you'll know that we've changed the format recently. And so most of our shows will be 1 hour in length, but we will have a deep dive show that will be 2 hours long. We'll do that once a month. It will be the third week of each month. And today's show is an outlook show for the months ahead. This we will do at the end of each month, and you'll have the opportunity to see what we feel is going to be high on the agenda around the world in the months ahead. We will also be having a forensic astrology show at the beginning of each month for 1 hour, and then we'll select for the second week of each month a topic that we want to explore in that 1 hour show. So we're changing the format up a little bit, and we hope you enjoy it. We've given it a lot of consideration and feel that this is a good format for us moving forward. Well, but Stephen, welcome to today's show.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here, very excited about the format changes. You know, just want to remind everyone that we love astrology. We're great metaphysicians, great esoteric thinkers. But, you know, we have a thing to learn or two to learn about broadcasting, and we are becoming better broadcasters, and we appreciate everybody's patience as we evolve and grow. And if you don't mind, Steve, I would like to just say a little bit about some of the charts that we're going to be using for the February forecast.
Yes, go for it.
Awesome. Well, we have essentially what we're going to be using is what's called a revolution chart. It's a return chart where the sun comes back to a certain degree. For the United States, it's going to come back to the degree that it held when the United States was born. And just so that everybody knows, our foundation chart for the United States, we're going to mainly focus our comments on forecasting for the United States. The chart that we use has a rectified time. I use the chart offered by a gentleman named Dr. H. He likes to go by Dr. H. I don't know his real name, but he's a fine astrologer. He's rectified this ascendant. So let me go ahead and give that date. That's July 4th, 1776 at 6:18 p.m., Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll be doing a solar return analysis. Basing our February forecast on the solar return for that United States chart. Plus, we'll be doing an analysis of something called an ingress, where that factors into our considerations as well. The ingress is the revolution, a return of the sun to 0 degrees Aries. It's sort of like a birthday of the world, an anniversary of the entire globe. You just cast the chart for whatever location you want, and boom, you have an idea of how global affairs are going to impact that place. Finally, lunar returns. The place of the moon is also very important. We'll be using those three charts in our analyses for the year of 2014 going into 2015.
Thank you, Stephen. Good explanation. Now, Stephen, we wanted to explain to listeners that in actual fact, we use some different techniques. So in other words, there are techniques that you use comprehensively in your practice that I don't use to the same extent. And equally, there are some tools that I have a preference for that you don't use as extensively. And, you know, I think this is part of the value of our partnership, really, that when we're working with clients, we are enabled to, in fact, using different techniques and validating our insights and coming to a well-thought-through conclusions, but you're going to be using the primary directions technique. Can you take a moment just to explain to our listeners how our primary directions work?
Sure. Very briefly, it's kind of a complicated technique. It does require some math, a little bit of trigonometry, but the technique that you're going to use is based upon the movement of the planets actually in space. The primary directions are actually based on the sun's rotation, which is quite interesting. And usually, to boil it down, make it real simple, what we're doing is we're taking what's called an arc of direction between two significators, two important planets or two important points, and the distance between those. We convert that into a date. We convert that into time. Any student of physics will understand the relationship between time and and distance. There's definitely a relationship between them. We're just elevating it to a more spiritual level of importance. Now, the interesting thing is that these dates are very suggestive for events that will happen. And that's the main technique that I'll be basing my commentary on tonight, Steve.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. And just as a reminder for our listeners, I do tend to use what we call major progressed aspects. And I find this to be a really useful way of making predictions, looking at the energies at different points in time. So, as I said before, by combining these techniques, you get a really deep level of insight and accuracy. So, Stephen, should we get started with our review of the month ahead? Would you like to kick off?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you something. Steve. You know, we right now, we're obviously changing over from January into February, but we still got a little bit of January left. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that foreign matters, diplomatic matters, especially centering around India, I think those in the coming days or so, I think those might actually come to the forefront. I got a really strong feeling that India is on the verge of almost an identity shift. I don't want to call it an identity crisis, but I really get the, first of all, I just have a strong influence of Gemini and Mercury coming through in this time period. And Gemini is associated with India. It's one of the ways that we, the actual technical term is chorography, is one of the ways we tie a zodiacal sign to an actual geographical locale. And due to various emphases and pointers astrologically, the sign of Gemini seems to be emphasized now. And one thing I forgot to mention, Steve, is that in my primary directions technique, well, it's not mine, but I use it, part of the forecasting power comes from directing the ascendant through something called the astrological terms. And I don't want to, you know, we could talk for an hour about what the terms are, but what the listeners need to know is that every sign has five terms. They all have unequal divisions. So it's not like the faces that are equally 10-degree divisions of a sign. These are unequal divisions, and they're all ruled by a planet, excluding the outer planet and excluding the moon and the sun. So as the ascendant of these various charts moves through these terms, then we have a change of atmosphere, a change of events. You know, when we get into terms that are ruled by Saturn or Jupiter, then we're going to have things like Supreme Court rulings on same-sex marriages. We're going to have Supreme Court rulings on other constitutional issues. We're going to have kind of high-profile court cases and other diplomatic sorts of bells and whistles, as it were. And so that's what I'm thinking we might begin the month with, Steve, sort of a focus on the diplomatic front. What were your feelings looking at the progressed chart?
Well, yes, looking at the U.S. chart, and the chart we chose, just as a reminder for our listeners, is the Regulus chart, which we've got at 6:18 and 17 minutes p.m., July 4th, 1776. I'm a little torn, Stephen, to be quite honest with you, because as I look at this U.S. chart, obviously there's so much going on in any chart you look at, and particularly when you look at the chart of a nation, you're seeing many different factors, many different pockets of circumstance. You know, one of the things that I'm noting as I look at this chart and look at the transiting planets is that Saturn in Sagittarius is at 3 degrees of Sagittarius, and it's moving into the 12th house, the house of disappointments. And, yeah. You know, as it moves into that part of the chart, I feel that there are some real disappointing realizations that come to the surface for the U.S. And obviously, because the U.S. is, well, arguably the leading power in the world at the current time, won't necessarily last forever, but that seems to be the case right now. It's an indicator that there will be shockwaves elsewhere. And particularly, Stephen, I'm drawn to Uranus that is opposing the natal Saturn in the US chart at the current time. I'm drawn to the activity of the lunar nodes around that Saturn in transiting Uranus. And my feeling, Stephen, and I'd be interested to see what your view is, my feeling is that there's a significant disappointment on the horizon for the United States. And I feel that it's a significant disappointment for us at home. And I feel as well that it relates either to Obama or to our government. So that's my feeling. I'm hoping that it's not something more serious than a serious disappointment about our government or our leadership. Well, so given that that's my sense, how do you feel about that comment? Do you feel that that may be the case based upon your analyses, or do you feel that I'm off the mark?
No, I don't feel you're off the mark. I feel you're on the mark. Disappointment, especially on the 25th, the tweeted bomb threat actually grounded two flights that were headed, were supposed to go to Atlanta. And, you know, that's a perfect manifestation of Saturn in the aviation, flight-oriented sign of Sagittarius. You know, Saturn represents denial. Sagittarius represents flight. We're very lucky that that actually did not manifest as a crash. It could have easily have done that. The only reason it didn't, I think, is because in the solar return for the United I'm sorry, not the solar return, but the Aries ingress chart, Saturn was still in Scorpio at the time of the ingress. So if he had been in an air sign, or if he had actually been Sagittarius at the, you know, back in March of 2014, who knows? That could have been a heck of a lot more lethal. Also, another big disappointment was the Santa Ana wind, and, you know, knocking out power for thousands of people in Los Angeles, the Southland area. You know, that's another manifestation of Saturn in Sagittarius, denying the things of Sagittarius. And the Saturn influence is very strong because from now, actually from tomorrow until about the 1st of February, it's going to be, we're going to be in a Saturn term, and we're going to be in Saturn's sign. When I say we're going to be, I don't necessarily mean in transit. You know, these directions are symbolic, you know, Steve, because in 24 hours, any horoscope wheel is going to, you know, every planet is going to form every single aspect, you know, based upon the rotation of the Earth. In 24 hours, with primary directions, we're symbolically extending and mathematically equating that diurnal 24-hour motion and all that it encompasses and extending it out into the future. And right now, Saturn, who we've been talking about, is emphasized and highly influential. And you know what I think is going to manifest as from the period of January 28th to the February 1st? You know, Saturn is an authority figure, so we're liable to see more big-time announcements from POTUS. And, you know, given the seventh house characteristics of everything, I think it might also highlight foreign types of presidents. You know, Saturn and Capricorn. The big question is, are these going to be positive or negative? You know, is it going to manifest more of the denial? I think it could be. It wouldn't surprise me, for example, if the Supreme Court started going the opposite way and started actually supporting some of the bans on, you know, same-sex marriage in certain states. It wouldn't surprise me if the Supreme Court of the United States of America all of a sudden started becoming more prone to deny, prone to disagree, prone to reject. So I think what's highlighted here is, A, the fact that foreign leaders and the president and big heavies, big-time people with power, I think they're going to be extremely cautious and inclined to deny things. Then after that, we get into the Mars term, and I'm not really expecting that to be all that great, Mars term going from 1st of February right on up to the 4th. But we're going to see a manifestation of that Mars energy in the form of the Super Bowl, Steve. Those who are wanting to put money on things, I'm actually leaning in favor of the New England Patriots astrologically. But anyway, that's what I think.
That's where that's where you would put your money.
Yeah, that's where I would put my money. No, I'm not quite an expert on sports astrology yet, Steve, but I went ahead and I took a peek. And I do believe that the Patriots, and I checked this afterwards, I do believe they're actually the odds-on favorite. But quite frankly, I think the betting odds between the Patriots and the Seahawks are kind of neck and neck. But astrologically, there seemed to be a clear indication to me that the Seahawks quarterback is not going to be at his best. He's going to be debilitated somehow. He's going to be functionally impaired. Maybe he'll be playing with an injury or what have you, but the New England Patriots, their team looks great. I don't know, maybe it must be all those deflated footballs, but you know, we're not here to talk about Deflategate or whatever ridiculous term they've coined for that. I'm not a big football fan, Steve. I think football was important, you know, back in the days when we used to have to throw stuff far, you know, like when we lived in caves, you know, back then throwing crap far was a big deal, but hey, I'm just one.
Well, I'm not a particularly into sports, but I'll certainly check on that match and hope your prediction is correct. That's exciting. Well, Steve, I wanted to mention the U.S. relations with partners abroad. You know, when I look at the natal chart for the U.S., you see so many planets in that seventh house of relationships with others, and it's pretty clear to anybody that the U.S. is a global power for various reasons, but one of them is the strong alliances that we have around the world. You think of our alliance with Saudi Arabia, our alliance with UK, with Europe, with Australia, etc. And the concern I have for not only the next month, but really something that extends through the remainder of the year, I have two concerns. One is significant problems with in our relationships with partners, and I guess by analyzing the synergy between the U.S. chart and key allies, we could pinpoint which relationship or relationships. But I feel like there's some challenge, some controversy relating to our relationship with a partner or our agenda with a partner abroad, another nation. And I also feel strongly that we're going to see more highly significant disappointments and major problems with key allies abroad. So, for example, we've talked in great detail about the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack in Paris. Well, France is an ally of the United States, not necessarily the closest ally by any means, but certainly relatively like-minded nations that have a lot in common when it comes to their agendas. So we saw this huge shockwave in Paris, and we've seen also the king in Saudi Arabia passed away. We've seen these very significant shifts, and not necessarily welcome shifts with key allies abroad. I foresee more of that, and I think that we need to keep a very close eye on the dynamics, events, charts of key allies abroad, because there's for sure going to be more major changes and major problems as we proceed through this year.
The big problem is going to be in Yemen. I'm ruling out problems of succession in Saudi Arabia because King Abdullah was 90 years old. The Saudi Arabians had seen his death come. You know, he's 90-something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so there are very stable structures for succession in place for Saudi Arabia. Therefore, when we enter into a very influential Mars period from February 1st to February the 4th, 2015, I'm actually by process of elimination saying that the Martian chaos, the Martian tumult is going to be probably in Yemen. Because if we look at the United States solar return chart for 2015, and for those who are interested, those data are July the 5th, 2014 at 6 8:08 in the morning for Philadelphia. And, of course, it lasts from July 2014 to July of 2015. It straddles our calendrical year marker. But in this chart, we've got an opposition aspect between the Sun in Cancer and Pluto in Capricorn. This is very obviously symbolizing both the death of King Abdullah, but also the fall of the government in Yemen. And we know we are now reaching a point in the zodiacal wheel where these things are energized and excited. And so this is why we astrologically have seen these events happening. What interests me, Steve, is that the Sun in Cancer is in the 12th whole sign in this chart, indicating that perhaps King Abdullah, and by extension the Saudis, could be 12th house secret enemies. This, to me, is very provocative.
That's very, very interesting point, Stephen, because my intuition has said to me for a long time that there's a far more complex dynamic in terms of our relationship with Saudi Arabia, and this is not a feeling that I'm getting based upon a chart I'm looking at. This, I just put it out there because it's aligned with what you've just said. I would not be at all surprised if at some stage in the future we find that the Saudis have sponsored or financed terrorist groups, and that comes to the surface, and that has to be addressed, that the relationship has to be recalibrated. Something funny about that. But one thing I wanted to say, Stephen, is I have some concerns about the economy in the United States. I've said before that I don't feel that the indicators we're all talking about in the news are to be interpreted the way they're being interpreted. So give a simple example. Obama mentioned in the State of the Union speech that unemployment statistics are looking good, but the fact is many people have gone from a role that was well paid to a role that's poorly paid. And that is not necessarily borne in mind when we analyze these unemployment statistics. And when I look at this Regulus chart, the U.S. Regulus chart right now, and I see that transiting Jupiter in the eighth house of debts and other people's finances, so I'm thinking China and people that that really invest in the dollar and the United States, I see that transiting Jupiter moving up to an opposition with progressed Mercury in the U.S. House of Finances. And I also see transiting Mercury and the Sun creeping up there. So one of my predictions for the month ahead is that there's some bad news about the economy, that there's something that hits the headline that is really alerting us to the fact that there's too much in the way of smoke and mirrors going on with regard to the economy, our debt levels. And that's certainly something that I see hitting the headlines. And I would anticipate, well, actually, Jupiter's retrograde, isn't it, right now? It's 18 degrees Leo. So depending on the movement of Jupiter in February, well, it's retrograde throughout February, so I would tweak that prediction and say actually that is something that rears its ugly head a little bit later on. And based upon the movement of Jupiter, it's likely to be in June, probably a week or so, 10 days into June, that we are hearing some bad news about the economy, our finances versus our debts.
Well, yeah, Jupiter is going to turn direct here in a few months. I think in April, if memory serves me correctly. But the economic outlook for February, I think it might actually start out surprisingly well, believe it or not, deceptively well. Certainly, the focus is going to be on not just the economy but trade. Period, in terms of, import, export, surpluses and deficits, trade innovations, big-time purchases from companies. it wouldn't surprise me at all if there were a sort of a gargantuan merger, perhaps, or something of that nature in February, maybe even in the latter parts of this month. We've only got a couple more days, but hey, anything can happen. And definitely in February, I think it could be possible that we could see a lot happening in the finance world with mergers. Also, perhaps even with trials and legal action against, you know, titans of business, big decisions and things of that nature, or big court decisions that affect mercantile matters and matters of trade in America. But for sure, I do think that in general, the economy will probably be, it will continue to be propped up by air, smoke and mirrors, as you mentioned, and there will be very little value to it. Yet, I do believe that the what we're going to deal with, and speaking about the year now, not so much the month, but what I think we're going to deal with is kind of, you know, fluctuating quarterly results that surprise everyone. That's happened, you know, thus far. But I think we're going to have, in other words, a mutable type of economic output throughout the entire year. Now, as far as February is concerned, I would expect it to start off with a lot of energy. The economy, I would expect to start off with a lot of energy, rather conservative, but still energetic. I think the American people will be quite industrious as a whole. I think production levels will be at a high. I think gross domestic product will be at a high during that period. And I think, you know, I think we'll probably, it'll last for like a total of 2 or 3 days. It won't last that long, because I think, I'm not saying it's going, that the economy is going to go to the pits or anything like that, but I do think that February might right.
Well, I'm not too sure about later on.
Right, exactly. I think February might be a rather exemplary month, a kind of a standout type of a month that surprises everybody, you know what I mean? But I don't think it would be at all typical for the financial output of the entire year. I do have to understand that. You know, I would expect, you know, that we would have to look beyond February, and prior to February, obviously, there have been quite a number of big-time developments in the business world. Microsoft made a video game, purchased the company that makes Minecraft. I personally, judging from the astrology of it, think that may have been a mistake in the sense of purchase. In other words, it's going to require a lot of sixth house type of laborious attention, labor and development, et cetera, before it can accomplish what Microsoft hopes it can accomplish. And I don't pretend to know what that might be, by the way. But also, you know, I think during this period, during February, we're going to see more hacks. Definitely a very, very strong influence of Mercury throughout the month. And quite frankly, this would be a sort of, you know, I'm not totally, based upon this Mercury's performance in the month leading up to now, it's been rather mischievous, rather impish. And so I would not be at all surprised if over the next 28 days, 30 days or so, some other big identity theft or security breach at a bank, credit card, information theft, something of that nature, a hack, a denial of service type of a deal, could be affected by Anonymous. You know, they're getting riled up by the antics of those turds running around over in Syria. What do they call themselves? The Islamic State. They're getting all riled up over them. And you know what? I wish Anonymous Godspeed in crippling those heathens over there. Wish them Godspeed. I certainly think that is possible, Steve, in February.
Yes, yeah. It's interesting that you say that, because I was just looking at the lunar return for the United States regular chart, and a number of observations that I want to make based on that chart, but one of them is that Mercury is in Aquarius in this lunar return for
right.
the month's 1 month period. It's not the calendar month, but and you know, Mercury exalted in Aquarius. I know it exalted in modern astrology, but not necessarily in traditional astrology. But still, Mercury does well in Aquarius. So given that it's planted there in the 12th house and it's conjunct Venus, that's certainly a testimony that lends itself to your conclusion that there could be a real genius hack in this period. I do want to go back to the economy just for a moment, Stephen, because my view is that the economy is on crutches, and I don't even feel that they're real crutches. I liked your analogy of air, because yeah. It's all as though we're talking about the stability, and in actual fact, it's just not real. And I don't necessarily anticipate that there's going to be some really tough news about the economy in February. I feel it comes later on. But what does interest me is that when I look at this lunar return chart, it's giving us warning signs that there is a profound problem with the economy that is not necessarily known in the public domain or being discussed in the public domain at the current time, and I'm intrigued by that. But I also feel, Stephen, and I felt this intuitively, but also felt it based upon a consideration of the chart or the charts we're looking at today. I felt that about a week into March, there is some significant piece of news there about the economy, and either it would be a negative piece of news about the performance of the economy at that point in time, or it would be a piece of news casting aspersions upon this invisible air-like crutch that apparently is keeping us all in such wonderful, wonderful shape right now. So that's something that I've got my eye on. I did want to ask you, Stephen, about terrorism, because and I wanted to make a couple of comments as well. We talked in our conference call earlier in the week, and just for everyone's reference, Stephen and I have a conference call. We discussed the show ahead and decided which charts we're going to be analysing, etc. And in that call, we talked about terrorism. So we know we've had this dreadful situation in Paris. We know that there have been all kinds of arrests in Belgium, in Germany, even in Spain. We know that there has been a news report, US reporting, that they've killed 7,000 ISIS fighters, including certain leaders in northern Iraq, and I think a little across the border into Syria as well. I think we've been doing some bombardment there. And so when we were looking at a U.S. situation, I felt some concern about the homeland. And it was to do with the transiting Uranus-Pluto square. It was also to do with the way things are shaping up astrologically around Saturn in the U.S. chart, etc. So I was scratching my head and thinking of the meeting. I said, "Hey, Stephen, you know, I'm concerned that there could be, and I'm not saying February, but there could well be a significant attack on the homeland, maybe later this year, maybe a little after. I'm not sure. I'd have to analyze it and be really clear about when I feel those energies are triggered." And so we had a little bit of a debate about that. What's your latest feeling about terrorism in the homeland, the United States?
Well, you know, for one thing, Steve, you're actually quite right. I mean, there actually has already been an act of terrorism on domestic soil. It wasn't a big one. It was in New York City, a convert, I believe he was a convert to Islam, attacked some New York City police officers, and I do believe he actually killed them and then committed suicide. So there have been acts of terrorism, but a lot of, I don't want to call them acts of terrorism, but a lot of subversive activity, let's call it that, has been thwarted. And, you know, this is shown in the solar return for America by Jupiter and Cancer in the 12th house. I feel that this is a Jupiter that's going to reveal plots, you know, and it makes sense to me because we have a very aggressive National Security Agency and Department of Homeland Security. I think all of their invasive tactics must have been paying off. The general impression I'm getting is that, you know, most subversive activity will be outed before before it impacts American soil. But obviously, you know, we've had a lot of terrorist activity on foreign soil in other countries and other places. And, you know, 2015, that's different. I mean, the 2015 ingress, the 2015 solar return, in other words, these are different stories, different considerations. But for this solar return, for February, I think we definitely caught a break on that. You know, the signatures of terrorism, I think, were actually manifested more with the death of King Abdullah and also the fall of the Yemeni government. You know, the Pluto characteristics, the opposition between the sun and Pluto, these things, that's how I tend to view them. Now, I feel we have had a very bad cancer dynamic. We've had an awful lot of spree killings, mass murders, worthy domestic murders. And, you know, that seems like it might be an oxymoron. I mean, aren't all domestic murders noteworthy? But, I mean, when I say noteworthy, I really do mean noteworthy. So, in that respect, the Cancerian characteristics that could so easily be manifested as patriotism, nationalism, jihadist, Islamism, you know, Islamic nationalism, all these things, they've been sort of bled off or shunted more in the direction of bizarre domestic violence and things of that nature, beheadings at work, you know, a lot of workplace violence because someone failed to get a promotion or someone got fired, a lot of that sort of stuff. And every single time, at every event when that happened, Jupiter, who was in Cancer at the Aries ingress for the past year, and in Cancer, I think, also for the solar return, Jupiter was involved, or Cancer was triggered, something of that sort. So that's what I would be more afraid of for America in this year, Steve, especially as we get into March, which unfortunately people listening are going to have to wait until we do our March forecast to get the skinny on that. You know, we have a lot of analysis left to do for March is what I'm trying to say. I mean, I'm not trying to generate suspense. It's been my experience that people who like astrology generally don't appreciate suspense. They want suspense, they'll go watch a horror movie. But no, we still have a lot of work to do on March, but what is looking for me right now is that we can probably expect a lot more domestic violence of the more bizarre and tabloid-esque sorts. That's what I'm thinking. And so the emphasis for me isn't so much on domestic terrorism this year or in February, but more on, you know, bizarre murders. And I think we're going to be entering into that period right around February the 26th, where we might start seeing things of this nature crop up in the news. I don't want to say even more, because they seem to crop up with certain regularity, but we might get a really big one starting from the late February going on into March.
Yeah,
because at that time, there's also another changeover in a monthly perfection in March, and it's got, you know, kind of violent characteristics, and also it's got legal characteristics as well. So there'll be more big-time rulings from the Supreme Court bench and things of that nature. It's a ninth house, not a ninth house year, it's an 11th house year for America, which means that court matters are emphasized this year. But in the solar return, we've got Leo rising, and Leo is the ninth sign in the United States nativity. You know, so that says legal matters are going to be important. And we've seen all the civil rights violations and accusations levied against the cops, much more so than usual.
I just wanted to reiterate a point you made there, Stephen, for our listeners. So, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying is that when you perfect the ascendant, was it a reference to the solar return or to the perfected ascendant you just made?
Yeah. This is where these sorts of analysis can get difficult, because we're dealing with, you know, three different ascendants, you know, three different midheavens and all of this stuff. You know, if we go back to the natal chart, the perfections are a symbolic movement of that natal chart, and they never stop. They keep going from the moment you're born. It doesn't matter if you were born 10,000 years ago. In historical astrology, it's possible to do perfection from the Great Flood, believe it or not. It's possible to do. The ancient Arab astrologers would calculate perfections for thousands of years. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not that. It's going a little bit too far. You know, but using the natal perfection and on top of all of this stuff, by the time we get into early March, we're going to have a changeover from a minor level perfection to the seventh. It's going to have a seventh house characteristic, and you know, then we're going to see something that is going to make the news as regards litigation. Somebody's going to sue somebody, or somebody, you know, it's going to be a big celebrity trial or something like that. Seventh house matters, a big marriage. There might be a celebrity marriage or divorce. Seventh house matters. Warfare and violence and crime, things of that nature. So the perfection seems to emphasize the other technical matters, okay, because at the end of February going into March, Pisces influence kicks in big time. And I've already commented about how Jupiter has reared his head in a very negative fashion, manifesting as domestic impulses gone amok. You know, when the influence of Jupiter's sign, Pisces, kicks in, the logic is very clear to me. It seems that starting February the 26th, you know, that sort of thing can definitely happen. The lunar return for February, Mars is actually in Pisces, and Venus is applying to conjunct him. So, it all goes into the mix.
Stephen, you know, I ran a progress chart with transits a few minutes ago, and I was drawn to March, and I know we're focusing on a month there, but
yeah.
Forgive me, I'm moving a little bit into March with this, but I was drawn to it intuitively and pulled the chart, and going back to a couple of points I made before, as we get about a week or so into March, there are some really quite challenging dynamics, because transiting Mars, will engage with the transiting south node of the moon and Uranus. And we know already that we've got this Uranus-Pluto square. Now, that's not just relevant to the US chart, that's relevant to the whole planet and everybody on it. So anybody that has, you know, that transiting Uranus and or transiting Pluto on a very sensitive point in their chart, they should be aware of that time in March when Mars will connect with Uranus. In other words, will connect with and potentially ignite that Uranus-Pluto square. But when you look at it in the context of the US chart, it says to me, again, either there is a major issue at home. I'm hoping and praying that it's not a terrorist attack. If it's not that, it's likely to be, again, something associated with either our leader or a very significant occurrence with one of our allies abroad. So I wanted to flag that as something that I feel is particularly likely in March.
Okay, well, you know what? I think we, believe it or not, time flies. I think we might actually be coming to the end of our time here pretty soon, like 10 minutes or so, aren't we, Steve?
You're spot on. We've got about 9 minutes left.
Okay, well, I just want to briefly kind of go through the rest of February so that we can go ahead and squeeze that in there. I just want to kind of do my ideas for like 3 or 4 minutes on what I think is going to happen the rest of February. From the 11th to the 15th, I'm picking up on an influence of Venus and Aquarius. Now, Venus is a universal significator for Muslims and Islam. Aquarius is a universal significator for Jews. So to me, I'm thinking perhaps during that period, February 11th to February 15th, we could see a big-time anti-Semitic event affected by a Muslim against the Jew. Or we could just see Venus and her guise as money in the sense of the continuation of an exodus from Europe and other places into Israel. That's also possible. So moving from February the 15th right on through the 19th, we enter into a Jupiterian period. And I do think, again, that there could be violence overseas, perhaps in Yemen, among the Arabs, among an ancient type of people. Aquarius represents ancient people. So it could be a disruptive event among the Arabs, a disruptive event among the Jews, a disruptive event, even among aboriginal types of people. Jupiter, again, being in a water sign, I would not be at all surprised to see a big industrial accident where there could be perhaps a leakage of gas of some sort or something toxic, something having to do with poisons or some environmental gas of some sort. Also, Jupiter, of course, naturally being legalistic or academic even, there could be a problem on campus, for example. Tell you the moving, I also expect that it probably will be mercantile, and so we would be also hearing about a business making the news of some sort, you know, some CEO perhaps getting fired or a changeover of CEOs even, or a CEO getting into trouble or a scandal wrapped up with the CEO, or perhaps the CEO doing something nice. But the emphasis seems to be on business. And also, I do think that it probably would be kind of violent or shocking or surprising because Uranus kicks into this in a big way. There could be an aviation mishap during the period February 15th to February 19th, possibly. Where? Well, Uranus is in Aries. Maybe it's in the east somewhere. Maybe even in the UK or France or something. Maybe in the east. Maybe in Europe, I'm guessing on that one. Then February 19th to the 23rd, we enter into a Mars period of Aquarius. Now, this is going to be kind of distressing, kind of upsetting, probably an intellectually sharp period of debates, probably some big issue debated on the news. Sports are going to be called into play, especially the more mental, cerebral types of sports like tennis and wrestling and things of that nature. Maybe there'll be some sort of a championship.
Well, chess, that's mental.
Chess as well. Chess as well. And, of course, Mars and Aquarius always equates to violence among the old people. Violence also among African-Americans. Saturn represents African-Americans as well. So perhaps some protests, perhaps also some more violence in Egypt during the period February 19th to February 23. And from February 23 up to the 26th, again, the emphasis does not seem to shift away from Saturn, Jews, Islam, and also legal matters as well being the focus. Also, maybe even an actor, maybe Bill Cosby, because Saturn is old, Saturn is black. Saturn is also, what people don't realize, an actor, a shapeshifter, someone you think you know, but you don't really know. That fits with Mr. Cosby, perhaps. So February 23rd to February 26th is that. And then we get into the March period, which we will talk about next month. And that's all I've got, Steve.
It's great, Steve. Really good. Really great show. And I'm really excited that we are, we've decided now that once a month, at the end of the month, we do the outlook for the following month, because we did say that we wanted to make sure that we include more predictive work in the show, and that's really, really valuable. And you know, the great value of metaphysical insight for an individual or for an organization, for a nation, is to understand the energies that present themselves at different points in time, so that we have a broader perspective, more information to work with, and that should enable us to embrace opportunity, but equally and perhaps more importantly, it should enable us to avert problems, avert tragedy. So this applies just as much to mundane astrology, the considerations of what's happening in the world, as it does to an individual. And so often astrologers and metaphysicians get accused of looking back and saying, well, yes, what happened last week was in the stars, and that's certainly the case. It's always fascinating to conduct case studies looking at what's happened and confirming that the planetary alignments and movements were describing what occurred, but the great value is looking into the future and identifying opportunities to avoid problems and embrace good things. And that's what we aim to do with this show that we'll have at the end of each month. And we want to just ask you to please share the show with friends. We've had lots of feedback, and we're really enjoying the feedback we're receiving. And some of the changes we've made are based upon the feedback we've received from listeners. And we'll continue to listen to you. We'll continue to develop the show format and content. But, Stephen, over to you to tell our listeners what they need to know as we close.
All right. Well, one thing you definitely need to keep in mind, that we are evolving and we are kind of in a fluid process here. So, you know, don't be alarmed if we might make some more changes in the future in terms of format. But we're doing it to find the best possible version of this show. And we're doing it to, you know, get the message out there that, you know, history can be engineered, as it were. Mundane astrology is the study of history, and you know, looking forward, forecasting, we're kind of writing history before it happens. But you can find Stephen Frampton at stephenframpton.com. That's Stephen with a V. Pick up a copy of his book, Thinking Completely Outside the Box, about the massacre at the Aurora, Colorado Theater, shooting by James Egan Holmes. Quite a character, that one. You can find me at thegingerpsychic.com. I am currently in the process of porting over to a new site. I'll keep you posted on how that's going. But visit us either way. Write us, call us, set up an appointment with us, get to know us. We definitely want to get to know you, and listen to us. We'll be here every single week. We're going to try to shoot for Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and that's all I have. I hope everyone has a great week.